Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures or programs held at our center. Today, my visitor is Linda Gao. Linda, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you.
Linda Gao is a Christian and a clinical psychologist who works in the public and private sectors in New Zealand. She has a particular interest in the integration of psychological and biblical faith-based concepts in therapy. Linda will come to our center on Saturday, the 29th of June, and will give an introduction to mindfulness and Christianity. We are currently in the week of Prayer for Christian Unity. Well, it's almost over, but on Sunday we'll still have an event at the cathedral, the Anglican Cathedral. And I'm happy to have Linda here with me in the studio. She's a practicing Anglican and married to an Anglican priest. Linda, we are asked to pray for Christian unity. The fact that we are doing so reminds us of what we have in common and in what we differ and what way we differ. It is often a challenge for non-Christians to invite a Christian to a panel discussion. What do you consider are the core commonalities among all Christians?
Well, I think this is a complex question because there's so much diversity within the Christian tradition. And, you know, I've been thinking that we do share some core values. We share some core, beliefs around the Trinity, around the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ. So we have, a shared understanding of the Bible being an inspired document. And I think we believe at heart in the love and grace, of God and of Christ. However, I think that we probably range in terms of our position on a continuum in terms of some social justice issues, some issues of morality, of ethics. I would hope that we see ourselves as Christians as a voice for the voiceless, that we believe that, you know, we're all broken in different ways, and that we need God in our lives and his love to restore us to wholeness. But I see it as a big challenge when someone wants to put a Christian on a panel is, you know, where might they sit on that continuum of certainly of belief around social justice matters.
Yeah, it would be difficult to pick somebody from one denomination.
Indeed it would,
Yeah. And currently there are discussions of new Christian political parties in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Whereas in many countries there is a long-standing tradition of Christian parties, this would be new ground for the political scene in New Zealand as far as I'm aware of. What do you think has triggered the desire of founding Christian parties?
Well, I think that at some level, values have been raised by the new Labour government. I think Jacinda Ardern has really put that on the table, and maybe that's been a factor. But I think also that there's been, not just in New Zealand but overseas, this desire to, for perhaps the more conservative end of the spectrum, to want to have a voice within society, particularly those who have quite vocal around issues. And of course we've had recent rhetoric from Brian Tamaki and the Destiny Party, and from Israel Folau around their beliefs. And so I think that it's probably people from that end of the spectrum that may be thinking, here's a potential platform for us to present our ideas. Now, I don't believe that they represent the majority of Christians in New Zealand. There's a silent majority, I imagine, sadly, who would have a very different way of seeing their faith, and certainly they wouldn't be looking at it from that perspective. But I think that it's motivated, and you see these right-wing parties appearing, not necessarily Christian, but across in other countries, you know, in Europe and in Britain. And it seems to me that they want to create a place where people that need certainty, that need
structure,
maybe more black and white in the way they think, need a platform for their beliefs to sit. So I think that it comes in that wake, but also I think there has been more discussion around values and around beliefs, I think, in society, particularly in the wake of the Jacinda Ardern's government being in place.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/Muffin Talk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Linda Gao, and we've been talking about Christian political parties, in especially now new Christian political parties in New Zealand, even though often people say that it's a secular country, so it's quite a surprise for many people. So it's a novelty here, at least recently. But we've also had to deal with public statements that were intolerant and discriminating and justified with a Christian belief. How do you explain this behavior in a more and more global world that is to embrace cultures, to build bridges between beliefs and traditions?
I mean, I think that at some level there's a fear of the loss of identity with some groups, particularly groups that have a more marginalised perspective on things. I think that most people do want to embrace diversity and want to embrace all cultures, and certainly in New Zealand that would be, the majority of people would want that to be the case. And I think that these voices are really in response to a feeling of their own ideas being diluted, and this need to stand and sort of identify what they are believing in and what their values and ideas are. So I think that what's really key in relation to that is that the silent majority of Christians who don't sign up to that particular way of viewing faith or believing that those are the priorities, in fact, some of the issues that are raised, they need to speak up and have a voice as well. And that's been quite heartening. I've read a particular Anglican minister in Wellington, Scotty Reeves, wrote a very, I think, erudite article really responding to that rhetoric and saying, you know, actually that is not the brand of Christianity I sign up to, and it's not the way I see the majority of Christians operating in day-to-day life. So I think it is fear often, as I say, of loss of identity that will raise these voices up. But then I think we need to respond appropriately and to make sure that people are aware that this isn't the, you know, this isn't the majority voice. This is a single perspective.
And that's often a problem that if you say you belong to that group, that the whole group is praised or punished for that comment.
Indeed.
Because it's just a singular voice.
And I think that's very true. And I think this is a very apt quote by Martin Luther King. One of the things he said was that in the end we will remember not the words of our enemies but the silence of our friends. And I think that we as Christians have a responsibility to speak up and to counter some of that, rhetoric that's very judgmental, quite often, very narrow in its perspective.
And that's so that people know who are not Christians that there are different opinions within the Christian world.
Absolutely.
And it's not just one church, it's many churches of different denominations.
Absolutely. And I think, if I think of the resurrection, the death and resurrection, of Christ, you look at the different way in which, say, a Catholic may perceive that and may emphasise the suffering aspects of Christ's death, whereas an Anglican may be more likely to emphasise the resurrection. And it's interesting, the cross, for example, that people wear, often you find a Catholic would have a cross with Christ on it.
Crucifix, yeah.
A crucifix with Christ on it. And I have as an Anglican, I have a cross with Christ gone. In other words, he has, been resurrected. So there's different emphases, but it's about embracing the whole of that.
And even that is more cultural than religious.
Yes, indeed.
Because if you go to different countries and you look at churches, for example, in Europe or in Latin America, it's very different. In Latin America, most churches will see the painful Christ, the Nazarene that is beaten up. Whereas in other churches, and they're all Catholic,
so it's really within the
Catholics who can't say this or that. It depends on the culture and the cultural background. So it's always religion plus culture.
Absolutely.
And when we talk about culture, in New Zealand we have that wonderful national anthem, and one of the verses goes, "Men of every creed and race, gather here before thy face, asking thee to bless this place, God defend our free land. From dissension, envy, hate, and corruption, guard our state. Make our country good and great, God defend New Zealand." And I like this, the goal to make our country good and great. What is good?
Well, I'm not sure what it meant in the context of the writing of the National Anthem. I mean, it's very much come from a kind of a colonial New Zealand era. But certainly my hope around what is good would be looking at equality of access to resources, wages, healthcare, education, everything, free speech for all, religious tolerance, interfaith dialogue, and that should be across gender, race, education, social status. So I think I would, you know, my hope would be that good means it's about inclusion, not exclusion. It's about everyone having the opportunities that New Zealand brings.
And as it says, every creed and race. So we're all one in New Zealand, and we should not preach any hatred or any division.
No. I think just an interesting little story around that is that recently I was at a conference and I was introducing three Muslim psychologists who've done quite a little work in Christchurch since the terror attack. And they had been down as Muslims and as psychologists to support their community. And one of the things that one of them said to me was that actually, for her, primarily she's a Kiwi. She's fifth generation New Zealander. She professes a Muslim faith. She's trained in New Zealand as a psychologist. And yet she said, you know, I feel more Kiwi than anything, you know, and that's how I identify. And when Jacinda Ardern, you know, made that very powerful statement about they are us, she said, I quickly wanted that to be we are us, you know, that actually I feel part of the New Zealand community, you know, I am a Kiwi. And so I thought that was quite an interesting perspective.
That was also at the vigil at Ponsonby that we had after the attacks, and we went first to the Sacred Heart Church and then to the mosque, and the speaker, one of the Muslim speakers, said that his ancestors arrived in New Zealand in 1907, so he feels like a Muslim Kiwi. So it's a prejudice to say that certain creeds are new in the country. They have been here for a long time. And so from your point of view as a psychologist, what do you think is the source of discrimination and hate speeches?
I think that generally it is ignorance and fear. It goes back to that idea of losing your own identity, being overtaken by another, you know, believing that you're superior to others. Personal relationship breaks that down at the end of the day. Most people can't remain prejudiced and discriminatory if they actually embrace the shared humanity of another person. And that's certainly in my experience, that the closer you become to these other communities and you get to know the people individually, that actually a lot of the differences drop away. And I think that is very much, I suppose, a result of the those shameful attacks in Christchurch, has been that there's been a lot more interfaith dialogue, a lot more getting to know people across communities, particularly Muslim and Christian, and the wider secular society of New Zealand. And that's been a fantastic, I think, positive outcome, because it has promoted, you know, we're all human. Our humanity is what we need to be connecting on.
From the Auckland Interfaith Council, we've been organising Exploring Sacred Spaces for the last 3 years. And the first one we called Getting to Know Your Neighbour. And at these events, we invite people of different creed to come together to a place of worship. And somebody or a group of that special faith introduces the faith in the building and the venue and some traditions and answers questions. And I think that's also a nice tradition. Mm. We are going to continue that at the end of the year. So in October, there will be another Exploring Sacred Spaces. But I think that's what you say. It's about building bridges and getting to know each other. Mm. It's not about having a prejudice against another faith, but it's to get to know another person, no matter what the faith is.
I agree.
And so when we go back to these discriminations, what do, when you say that, how do we should react when you see somebody discriminating somebody else? Do you have any recommendation?
I suppose that I would hope personally that I would speak up, that I would advocate for someone who is being discriminated against. So someone like Scotty Reeve, who's written an article, has done that so that that can be out in the public arena. And I think that's really important at that level, that Christians who want to present a different perspective on things and want to, educate the general public about a different way of viewing things, must speak up. But in individual situations, I think we have a responsibility, to actually advocate for those who are being marginalised or being discriminated against. And that can be quite a challenge and quite scary for some people, to do that, because you put your head above the parapet and, there is a risk that you something can happen to you. But I believe in faith that we need to stand up for the rights of others and, not to allow those things to pass by. As I said, our silence is collusion at some level. So
that also people see that we have different opinions and we still can work together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And maybe you can tell me a little bit about what you're going to present on Saturday, the 29th of June. So you called it mindfulness and Christian meditation. Both words are buzzwords. Can you say something about it without taking too much of the retreat day?
So I suppose as a psychologist and as a Christian, I've become very interested in the interface between those two areas, and particularly with mindfulness obviously being something that's used, meditation certainly, across many faith traditions, not just within Christianity but within Buddhism and Hinduism and other religious beliefs. And so what I'm attempting to do in the workshop is to just bring together elements of theology and psychology practice, and help people see how these things are not so foreign, it's not so different. I'll spend a bit of time teaching people about mindfulness as a technique, but also talking about mindfulness as a way of living, as a stance in life, and try and debunk some of the myths around it. A lot of Christians are a bit fearful of mindfulness. It's seen as a secular technique. They associate it with Buddhism, etc. And I hopefully can reassure them that these ideas are actually prevalent in all religious beliefs across Christianity, as I say, in other areas, and that you can use the ideas in a safe way within your own practice as a Christian. So that's kind of a bit of a taster. There'll be some experiential stuff. It won't just be sitting and listening to me talking. So it should be a fun day.
And can you do both? Can you do mindfulness and Christian meditation? Not at the same time, but in general speaking, do you have to decide which one you choose? Is it competitive?
Not really. I mean, mindfulness, if you break down what it involves, which is about, it is a form of meditation. You'll find that within the Christian tradition, centering prayer, which is a particular approach to prayer, in terms of how it is used, is extremely similar to the technique of mindfulness, within the Christian tradition. So, and I do a little bit of reading around some of the proponents of that. So.
Mm-hmm. And so that we'll learn more about it. So I don't want to ask you any more questions, because otherwise people don't have any new items when they come on the 29th of June. And so it'll be from 9:30 to 3:30 at our Spirituality Center. Maybe you can, just to get to know you a little bit, you told me that you and your husband have set up a Christian Trust Without Walls in Whangarei, and living in community of four years. What was that about?
So that was, I suppose, part of our spiritual journey. We started off in the Anglican tradition in the UK, probably within the sort of open evangelical sort of tradition. And I think over the years, as we've progressed in our faith, we've recognised that part of us wanted to be, I suppose, living that day to day rather than it being something that felt a wee bit separate to our everyday life. So the community that we set up in Whangarei was really to kind of live out on a day to day basis our faith alongside others in the community. So it was very much community based living and walking alongside folk that some of whom did have a Christian faith and others who didn't, but really being there, being a presence and providing them with a place to be, a secure home. And we, alongside that, I suppose the model that we worked around was called new monasticism. So we lived in community and we had regular prayer as a community, which people could join if they felt comfortable. And that was a very powerful experience for us. I think it's a very costly experience. And as a psychologist, I was working outside of the community and also providing a presence and, you know, pastoral care within it. So we felt after 4 years that that was, you know, our time was has come to an end, and we've moved on into other areas of ministry now. But I think in terms of our Christian journey, certainly it has moved us much more in the direction of the contemplative traditions. So if we look at our journey of Christianity, you know, our faith journey, and we now, I think the practice of mindfulness, the practice of centering prayer would be far more part of the core of what we are about now.
Did you try out mindfulness and Christian meditation and centering prayer when you were in the monastic life?
Yes, indeed. I mean, that was part of the daily rhythm, in fact, that we were having, you know, each day we would have two or three times of prayer that would be available to people. And certainly it's become much more of part of our practice than perhaps it was in our earlier days as Christians.
And did somebody continue that tradition that you started in Whangarei?
That particular community came to an end, but you may have heard of Urban Vision, which is a similar community that, communities around the country. They were set up by Justin and Jenny Duckworth. He's now the Bishop of Wellington. And that is a very similar model, very much earthed in the community, living with your neighbours and being a resource to your neighbours. So very much at the grassroots. And the work that Scotty Reeve does also with his church blueprint, which is in, I think, Lower Hutt, similar kind of model, living very much alongside other people in the community, being Christ in that community, really, to others. So very grounded in sort of working with the margins, create, you know, advocacy for the voiceless, that sort of thing. So, yes, those communities are now considered missional communities within the Anglican tradition as well.
Well, that's quite a commitment for several years to live a monastic life, and then you went out and worked as a psychologist on top of it. Mm. And in your work as a psychologist, are you working with Christians or across the board?
So my current work, I work across the board. I do have some clients who have specifically wanted to meet with a Christian because that was important to them in terms of feeling understood in relation to their faith, to faith matters. So I do have some Christian clients, but I, you know, operate across all sectors, and I see who is in need. I work particularly with ACC with trauma, so I see that there's a spiritual element, you know, to most people's needs, whether it's Christian explicitly, but most people have a spiritual aspect to them. So I see that as important, and that particularly within a Maori worldview, Te Whare Tapawha is a model which you no doubt are familiar with, and so, you know, it's quite acceptable that spirituality will form part of someone's presentation and the issues that they may need to address.
Well, you have a broad range of interests and experiences, and I'm really looking forward to the event on the 29th of June, and when we talk about Christian meditation and on mindfulness, and see what is the difference, what are the commonalities, and how can both or one of them help us in our daily lives. Thank you very much, Linda, for having come to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
And so what else is coming up in our center? We have in mid-June, Matariki is coming up, and we celebrate with two events on the topic of gratitude and Aotearoa. And so the one workshop will be on Friday, this Friday today, on the 14th of June from 7 to 9 p.m. Susan Healy will give an evening talk on Te Tiriti o Waitangi, gratitude for the land of Aotearoa. And next week on Friday the 21st of June from 7 to 9 p.m., Rangi Davis will come and she will give a presentation on Maori spirituality, whakawhitai, gratitude. This event will also be translated with New Zealand Sign Language. So you're welcome to join, and I hope that many of you come and learn more about Maori spirituality, whakawhitai, and gratitude. And on Saturday, the 29th of June, from 9:30 to 3 p.m., Linda Gao, who we have in the studio today, will give an introduction to mindfulness and Christianity. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycentre.org.nz. Thank you very much, Linda, for having come to the studio. I wish you all the best, and I'm looking forward to seeing you then on the 29th of June.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead.